1 Kings 18. You ever just look to get encouraged? You just want to be encouraged. Anybody ever need that? Where do you go when you want encouragement in the Bible? What book do you go to? Psalms, okay. Okay, Lord's Prayer. Okay, the Gospel of John. Or okay, 1 John. Where do you go, Sky? All right. So where do you go? Anybody else got it? I always go to Elijah. It seems to me anytime I just really need to be encouraged, I go to Elijah, which is in 1 Kings. And, you know, to me, one of the highlights of going to Israel, of course, it's a highlight to be at Mount Calvary. No doubt about it, to be at the tomb in the garden. No, that's just no equal to that. But for me, one of the highlights was being on Mount Carmel. Just because I always, and all the Jewish world, you know, Elijah is right at the top as far as prophets go. And to me, he is too. But just to see the way that God worked through him, and he's not maybe somebody that others would look to. Not so, in fact, if we go back and look, when he's introduced, the first thing we see this man named Elijah, the first thing he does is walk in and say, "It's not going to rain unless I say so." That's and God says, "All right, now go away." And he goes away and he stays gone by himself, secluded for 3 years. Now, this is a prophet. We don't see him out preaching, "You need to repent or it's not going to rain." No, he's just off the scene for 3 years. If somebody were to walk the aisle today and say, "Pastor, I just believe God's called me to preach. I believe he wants me in ministry." And we turn around and we say, "Hey, church, y'all pray for our brother. He believes the Lord wants him in ministry." And then he disappeared for 3 years. What would we think? We'd say, "That wasn't real. He just got excited. Then he just lost all of it." No, it was real. Elijah had the call of God. God said, "Go tell him it's not going to rain. And then I want you to go over here and stay here. Stay there." Well, finally, he says, "Okay, now I need you to go to Zarephath." He goes there, and God says, I've got a woman there, widow woman, by the way, and I want you to go to her. And the idea was, is that she's going to take care of you, but the truth was Elijah, God, through Elijah, was going to take care of her. That's what happened. And if you recall the story, Elijah comes and he says, make me a cake is the word he uses. And she says, "You do understand. I said, I'm about to make something for me and my son. We're going to eat that and then we're out. We're dead. We're going to die. We are broke, broke, broke." And he said, "I told you, make me something to eat." Isn't this the kind of preacher you want? No, it's not, is it? But she says, "Okay." And she makes that, and then it says that she never ran out of meal. Since she obeyed God, the man of God, the word of God, and she gave to the Lord first, to the ministry first, then what she needed never ran out. Isn't that great? And then what? Okay. That's not really what we're going to talk about. We're not really going to talk about Elijah tonight. There's a fella in the next chapter by the name of Obadiah. It's not the same Obadiah, the book of Obadiah. It's different guys. Now, there is some debate over that, but I'm convinced it's not the same Obadiah as wrote the book of Obadiah. But it's because of the timing and all of the events surrounding it. But how many of you ever worked with someone since you've been saved, since you've been living for the Lord, you worked with someone who it was almost made it impossible to be a Christian? Anybody ever been around somebody like that? And so here we have that. Obadiah, what's his job? He is basically, the Bible says he's the governor of Ahab's house, which to us would mean that Ahab is the king and Obadiah is the prime minister. He's taking care of business. Anything that Obadiah needs, Ahab, King Ahab, y'all remember King Ahab? Wicked man. Only one worse than him was Jezebel, his wife. And Ahab, when he needs something, he goes to Obadiah. That's his right-hand man. And we know that Ahab is wicked. Again, married to deep wickedness. But now you've got Obadiah who loves God, and he works there. He lives there. He serves that king. Now, I don't know about you, but I find that difficult. To be a Christian, to be a godly man, to observe my faith in the presence of all that wickedness. And we didn't look at it, but you know what happened here. When Jezebel had killed the prophets, she wanted her prophets. She wanted one religion. And so she figured the best way to get rid of the Christian religion was just to kill all the godly people, all the prophets of God. And so that's what she did. Well, Obadiah, unbeknownst to Jezebel, he had rescued 100 prophets. And he put them, he divided them up, 50 in one cave and 50 in another cave. So not only did he rescue them, but he provided for them. And I don't know what Obadiah's salary would have been, but the Bible says that he gave those prophets bread and water. Remember, we're in a time of drought. And so water was a precious, treasured commodity. Something you just didn't give away. And he's taken water to the caves and given it to these prophets, sustaining them during this time. Because Jezebel would have had those 100 killed. So he's taken care of them out of his own pocket, out of his own ability, his own desire. Men of God, he wants to protect them. He wants to preserve them. He wants a remnant, and so he's doing that. We go to 18, verse 1. It came to pass after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. So Elijah's message was, it's not going to rain again till I say so. 3 years go by with no rain, and then Elijah has no desire to go give them rain, does he? And God says, Elijah, it's time to give them rain. Aren't you glad that God is more merciful than people are? Elijah would have just sat back and he would have taken the last drip and let everybody die from drought. Because he said, this is a wicked nation. They don't deserve water. I'm not giving them water. God said, go give them water. I want you to go. I'm going to send rain. Verse 2, Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. There was a sore famine in Samaria. So considering that there had been no rain for 3 years, of course, imagine the vegetation. And if the vegetation is dried up, what's that doing to the stock, the herds, the wild animals? And so it's all drying up. People are hungry. Can't afford to eat. Can't find anything to eat. No animals left to eat, maybe. And Ahab calls Obadiah, this is verse 3, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. And it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, Obadiah took 100 prophets, hid them by 50 in a cave, fed them with bread and water. Ahab said to Obadiah, go into the land to all the fountains of water, unto all the brooks, peradventure we may find grass to save the horses, the mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So, I mean, it's thinning down. And who does Ahab call? Obadiah. This is his right-hand man. Two completely different people, aren't they? One's a Christian, or, you know, godly man. One's not. One's wicked. Again, the wickedness in that house with Jezebel. You imagine working there and having to listen to her all the time? The anger and the hatred and the ugliness and the vitriol. I wouldn't want to be there. But Obadiah was there. And he was surviving. Not only was he surviving, but he was using his ability to sustain 100 other prophets outside of that. Now, I'll tell the story. It's in here. I don't want to read it all to you, but I'll just tell you what happened. Ahab was so angry, and Jezebel, of course, so angry at Elijah for holding back the rain, that they had sent search parties all around, and what do we call them? Bounty hunters. That's it. Bounty. Y'all didn't know that was in 1 Kings, did you? Sent out bounty hunters and said, go find Elijah. And so they would come to a town, a village, a country, whatever, and they would say, have you seen the prophet Elijah? They said, no. He said, now swear to me you haven't seen him. Because if you've seen him and you're hiding him and you're protecting him, we'll come back and destroy the whole place. We swear we've not seen him. Okay. They've been looking for him. Where's he been? He'd been over here, hiding out. Not really hiding, just isolated, just secluded. Until God said, all right, I got something else for you to do. And so he's been over there, just resting, just building up strength. They've been looking all over the place, never ran across him. And God says, I need you to go. Ahab says to Obadiah, let's go find some water. Obadiah's out looking for water. Guess what he finds? Elijah. He didn't find water. He found Elijah. Verse number 6. So they, Ahab and Obadiah, divide the land between them to pass through it. Ahab went one way by himself. Obadiah went another way by himself. As Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him. And Obadiah knew him and fell on his face and said, art thou that, my lord Elijah? He answered him, I am. Go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. You go tell the king, he doesn't have to look for me anymore, I'm here. Well, Obadiah explains to Elijah what I have just explained to you, that we've been out looking for you everywhere. And now if I go and tell the king that you're here, I have a concern. What's your concern? He said, I know what the Spirit of God will do. As soon as I say he's over here, the Spirit of God's going to take you somewhere else. And then Ahab's going to come here looking for you like I told him to, and you won't be here. You're going to get me in trouble. You're going to get me killed. Elijah says, I promise I'll be here. Well, you know, Elijah, you know, prophet, I've got 100 prophets that I saved by myself. 50 in one cave, 50 in another. I've been taking care of them. I've been providing for them. I've been doing everything. Look, I'm a man of God. I believe in God. I know that I work for Ahab. I know I live in that house with Jezebel and Ahab, and it's a wicked house. I get it. And you wonder how could somebody with a conscience, especially knowing God and believing in God and fearing God, could live in such an atmosphere like that. But Elijah, I'm a believer. Now don't send me in there for them to kill me. Now you don't put me to death. This is a death sentence. You're going to get me killed if I go say that and you're not here. He said, I'm going to be here. I promise I'll be here. Think about it. What was Obadiah afraid of? Let me tell you, if Jezebel would have killed those 100, she would have killed him too. If she had found out what he was doing for those 100, she would have killed him. If they had found out that Obadiah was in any way associated with the man of God, they would have killed him. Obadiah had good reason to be afraid. But Elijah, the man of God, says, you do what I told you to do. Isn't it incredible? Elijah comes to a widow woman with no food left. She says, I've got just enough for me and my son to have a little bit before we die. And he says, do what I told you to do. And she did it. He comes to a man who's supposedly a man of God. And Obadiah puts up a fight. He tries to talk. No, this ain't going to work. But eventually, finally, Obadiah surrenders. Verse 16, Obadiah went to Ahab and told him. And Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said to him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? You with the Bible, you with the faith. You're the one that's causing all this trouble. You're the one that's causing all this controversy. Isn't that the way they'd have us to believe it? That if we would just keep our faith to ourselves and our morals to ourselves and our standards to ourselves, that there wouldn't be a problem in the world. They've said before, and it's not just true there, it's true here. But the Jews say if the Muslims would lay down their arms, there'd be peace. If the Jews lay down theirs, there'll be no more Jews. And the Christians are in the same boat. If we continue to surrender land, surrender standards, and surrender and compromise, sooner or later there won't be any Christians left to speak of. Now, you say, Pastor, the truth is we're going to be raptured, and I know that, and I'm looking forward to it. But I sure like to see the next generation get saved before it happens. I'd love to see our children know Jesus before that happens. I'd love to see Christians get excited about living for God and serving God and having standards and living by those standards before that happens. Instead of continuing to give up ground on the moral fight, on the moral front. Art thou he that troubleth Israel? Verse 18, Elijah answered, I have not troubled Israel. But thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and hast followed Balaam. I get encouraged by reading about Elijah because he had backbone. He didn't back down. He didn't compromise. He didn't wimp out. He stood firm. He had the power of God in his life. His God's our God. His spirit, our spirit. He was doing the work of God as we should do. He was standing up as we should do. And he was not mincing words, trying to satisfy everybody. If they were wrong, they were wrong. And he didn't mind saying so. He was used of God and made a difference. And then we have Obadiah. Living in the balance, isn't he? Well, look, I believe it's sincerity. Anybody that will rescue 100 prophets and sustain them means it. But every day he went back home to that and lived there. And our environment has an impact. The people we hear, the people we listen to, that has an impact on who we are. The Bible talks about Lot, doesn't it? His righteous soul, vexed his righteous soul. It just begins to press down, and it even the Bible even talks about people getting to a point where they have forgotten they were saved. Obadiah hadn't reached that point. But when we continuously expose ourselves to the wickedness of Jezebel and Ahab, murderous, robbers, adulterers, the wickedness that was in them, false worship, they worshiped Baal, had all these other prophets, is wickedness. We can't continue to straddle. Elijah didn't straddle. Elijah was on God's side. Again, I don't fault Obadiah. I believe he was a real sincere believer, feared God. But he was living in fear because he was living both sides. You can't live both sides in peace. If you want to have peace in your heart, you've got to pick a side and pick God's side. Would you stand? Father, we love you. We love your word. And we look at Obadiah, we see a lot of ourselves there because of the world in which we live. God, I pray that when we see Elijah, we'll see ourselves more there. Taking a stand, doing what's right, surrender to your instruction, encouraging others to walk in your way. God, we need a generation of Elijahs. We need a church of Elijahs taking a stand and doing what's right. Thank you for our church, for the faithfulness, the goodness, the kindness, the generosity. Lord, help us to go out this week. Show us opportunities to win souls, to make a difference. Dismiss us with your grace, and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.